Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corlin Chad here, your host for this weekend's edition, also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Please be sure to go back through our website and podcast, click on some of those daily editorials, market updates, and company updates that we recorded throughout the week. On this weekend show, because the last couple weekend show, we focused so much on resource investing and diving down into the resource stocks. Well, unfortunately, those sectors broadly are still under quite a bit of pressure. I wanted to look a little bit more big picture in terms of a number of different markets, some of the recent rebounds that we have seen, and in the back half of the show, go into the energy sector to talk about a couple companies that have had some pretty big acquisitions and mergers announced. So to kick off the show, we are chatting with Rick Bensignor, president of Bensignor Investment Strategies. Rick writes the institutional newsletter, Supposedly Irrelevant Factors. This is read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. On the retail and individual side, check out In the No Trader, that website, which has three products, a monthly report called 7-Eleven, where Rick picks no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs with the goal to beat the S&P, a weekly report called the Tactical Trader Report, and a daily report called the Daily Tip Sheet that just started this year. Now, Rick, I wanted to follow up on a note that you sent to subscribers back on October 29th, where you said that due to what was going on in the markets and what you were watching, you saw a bit of a shift into more of a deflationary environment. Now, that was also when markets were broadly breaking down, but they have rebounded in this time. So, Rick, in terms of this balance between deflationary environment, inflationary environment, where do you stand currently?
It's actually moved back to neutral with the risk-on move we've seen since that late October low. So what I had indicated is that we were starting to get some whiffs of deflationary type price action. But again, that with the surge that we've seen in the stock market and the turnaround in the bond market, that has gone back towards a more neutral setting right now. So the models, or that particular model, is not suggesting deflation, a particularly strong deflationary or inflationary environment going forward. That's not to say that the inflation that we've seen so far cannot persist. I suspect it will, in fact. But what that model tries to do is anticipate down the road the chances of a change in the environment before it's ever obvious to the marketplace. And like I said, it showed whiffs of the beginnings of a deflationary environment, which made sense given that rates had gone up to 5%, stocks were selling off, the S&P was down to 4,100 or so two Fridays ago. But again, that has shifted since back into a more neutral stance as far as that particular model.
Well, Rick, another takeaway from the piece you sent out to subscribers was, I guess, the ferocity of the rally we saw in general equities. And you had said, no, I never saw 6% coming in just five sessions. But then things got a little overheated on the sentiment side, and you pointed out that neither the mega bulls or the mega bears got it right. What are you looking at as far as this recent rally in the equities? Is there some teeth to it? Could it actually be a tradable bottom now, or was that just a dead cat bounce?
I'm going to stick with what I've kind of been saying for a while now, is that the mega bulls and the mega bears are going to be disappointed come year end. We all know who they are. They're on TV and get quoted all the time, and there's a group of them that sit in each one of the camps. And I'm more inclined to think that neither of them will particularly be happy come year end. They'll both make excuses for why they still think they're right and perhaps their timing was wrong. But I can make the case that between now and year's end, you do not see the big Santa Claus rally. You also don't see the big sell-off. We saw the sell-off. We saw the reaction at S&P 4100 and the bounce that we got from there when a week and a half ago, Fed Chair Powell gave the sense that the Fed is done hiking rates for now. And the market zoomed up, mostly a combination of new money coming in as well as shorts covering. The outflows in the past 2 weeks on the equity side had been huge when the S&P broke under 4250, and the public was a large seller. And then Powell saying what he did essentially reversed a lot of that. Now, what he said yesterday on Thursday, where he reiterated and kind of walked back what he had said the prior week in the press conference after the FOMC rate announcement, was that they completely leave the door open to further raising rates if the data shows that they need to, which is just another way of saying we're data dependent, which is what they've said all along. We'll raise rates as needed, which is what they've said all along. And I think the market had overreacted to the upside on the fact that they thought rates were done simply because rate hikes were done simply because he said, even then, we leave the door open to raising as needed. The reality is inflation is not close to their intended target. The effects have still not been fully felt in the marketplace of the interest rate hikes. And although near term, we certainly can make the case that the highs we saw by 5% in the U.S. 10-year are the near term high, I'm not going to make a huge bet that they can't go higher over time. I had told, in fact, I'm almost sure I had said the last time we spoke a month ago, and even perhaps the month prior to that, that my target in the U.S. 10-year that I had put out 6 months ago to clients and reiterated in almost every report since was a target of 4.88 to 5.06%. And we got to intraday 5.02% is the highest high. We backed off from there down to, you know, we're in the 4.5, 4.6 area. You know, I've done my job, let's put it that way, in having identified months in advance the likely peak, or at least a very tradable peak, from that 4.88 to 5.06 level. So, yes, I'm more inclined to be a buyer of bonds than to be a seller of bonds. And the pullback could be as little as about, well, on the downsides, I think 4.42 and then 3.91 to 3.67 is the range. If we get a full bond market rally, that's how much I think bonds can move up to and rates can go down to if we get a significant rally. Between now and year's end, we've got a strong update today to finish the week. I'm leaning into this rally right here on a tactical basis. And as long as we stay under 4,400, which is only 18 points away right now from where we are, I don't mind being tactically playing the negative piece here simply because what Powell said yesterday should take away a lot of the reason the bulls came storming back over the last week and a half. It's basically saying if we need to raise rates dependent upon the data, we will. And that should be enough to make bulls pause. If I look at where the outperformance is coming today in the market, it's coming from technology and communication services. No surprise. This is where the bulk of the Magnificent Seven are located. This is a pure mega, mega cap rally.
All right, enough said there, Rick. You're right. Mega cap stocks leading the way on this recent rebound. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back with Rick Van Senior, continuing to talk about a wide range of sectors and Rick's outlook.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
In a world where financial landscapes can change rapidly, safeguarding your savings and retirement accounts is paramount. Direct Bullion USA is more than just the number one rated gold bullion dealer in America. We're your trusted partner in navigating the uncertainties of hyperinflation and political upheaval around the world. Direct Bullion USA can provide you with the knowledge and resources to fortify your financial stability and protect what matters most. Call us now at 888-787-GOLD. Precious metals like gold and silver have been a safe haven investment for hundreds of years. Get started when you call Direct Bullion USA at 888-787-4653 and get your free gold investing starter kit today. All it takes is one call to 888-787-GOLD. Take control of your retirement and protect your future with Direct Bullion USA. Call 888-787-4653. That's 888-787-GOLD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Now, Rick, let's talk about gold and gold stocks. Starting off with gold. Look, gold touched its head on that $2,000 level, and as it has done so many times, it has reversed not too strongly as we're recording this. It's 1943. Still a generally good price for gold. Again, we will get into the gold stocks, but overall, what's your outlook for gold? world in this environment where we have seen now rates move down?
I tell clients today to nibble on gold. There's a couple reasons that you don't even need to risk $20 or so in gold right now if you're a buyer right around here. So gold, I'm looking at it, gold's right around 1945 an ounce on COMEX. So that's the December futures, and that's the front month. I kind of think right around in here is not a bad place to nibble. I did some buying back in October, literally on the lows, but never thought at the time that we were going to see the big rally that we did from, let's call it 18 and a quarter to almost 2000. I ran after a $60 profit just thinking, look how smart I am. I just picked the exact place to buy gold. Never had a single day's drawdown, but I looked at it as potentially just nothing more than a quick trade. I didn't see that we were going to get the type rally that we did. We stalled over $2,000 an ounce again. It's like paperwork, you know. It just always seems to happen. You get above $2,000 and gold can't rally. But the fact that we've sold off now in the pattern that we've sold off, and today is actually the ninth consecutive day that the closing price would be lower than the closing price from 4 days prior. That's part of a well-known institutional model designed by a gentleman named Tom DeMarc many years ago. It would suggest to me that gold actually could get a bounce fairly close from here, and I would say anywhere from about 1920 to 1955 or so is where I would expect to see gold put in a tradable bottom now. And this all relates to, if I'm right that the U.S. dollar peaked between 107 and 109, which has been my target, and then we had the strong sell-off, which was last week's sell-off, I actually think the dollar's going down to about 103.5 now. And if that's the case, it could potentially be the catalyst for gold to finally maybe actually make new all-time highs. And that would surprise a heck of a lot of people. We've been in a multi-year big sideways trading pattern from, let's call it round numbers, 2000 to 2050 on the upside, and downside probably about, 1650 or so. So, you know, a big $400 range. If this thing ever can get the catalyst to break out and look at what, you know, Bitcoin's doing and how that's moving higher, and there are reasons, we'll talk about that in a minute, that Bitcoin is moving the way it is. But if you look at these as kind of alternative assets to safety type assets relative to conventional equities and bonds as hedge instruments, I can make the case that perhaps the low we saw in October is the last low gold is going to see before ramping up to take out all-time highs.
Well, Rick, you must be a mind reader today, because that's exactly what I was going to ask you about, is what do you think it would take to break it out to all-time highs? And I guess it correlates to that dollar pulling back and other macro factors that are driving some of these alternative safe havens like gold and Bitcoin higher. To Corey's point, the gold mining stocks have had a completely different set of fortunes than the actual underlying metals price. Do you think a breakout in gold would actually lift these gold stocks and gold equities higher? How are you looking at the gold equities in relation to the metal?
Yeah, gold equities have had a really hard time. They cannot really get going. If we look at the GDX, it's still trading in the upper 20s. If I remember correctly, it had maybe peaked in the lower 40s a couple of years ago. Just never really can get going. But that's in alignment to the fact that gold really, you know, gold had its big up move from 2015 to 2020 or so. And then for the last 3 years, it's done nothing. It's just trading in a big range. Gold equities are similar. Newmont was trading, I saw earlier this week, Newmont was trading on the lowest lows. So even something like GDX is doing better than one of its key names. Today, specifically, the price action in the GDX actually fills a price gap from early October. We could be getting closer to a bottom. I think if gold makes new all-time highs, GDX and gold equities are going to rally. Do I have a reason for them to make new all-time highs? I don't. They're too far away from their all-time highs to think that they're going to get that type of lift. But in general, I would say the mid-20s in GDX is where, you know, I'd look for bottoms to be. And in their own way, they will follow gold, but not precisely.
Okay. Well, there's your outlook there. What about Bitcoin? Because, well, Bitcoin has been on a bit of a run here, and it seems to have, in a way, stabilized around this 35,000 level. As we're chatting, it's a little over 37,000. Now, the reason some people are saying is that maybe we're getting closer to these ETFs being approved, but I don't know. Quite frankly, Bitcoin was trading in a range for a while, and now it's broken higher and has not reversed right away. So what are you seeing in the potential of Bitcoin here?
So I've got some conflicting signals here because I actually had clients eight or nine weeks ago. We got long Bitcoin in my weekly tactical trader report for In the Know Trader, and we took profits yesterday. So we are now out of Bitcoin. We made 25% on the trade, so it's a huge gain for a 2 month trade, way above what you would typically expect to make, you know, in that amount of time. But I've got, from timing models, I'm taking my profits here, and I'm never going to not run with a 25% profit. From actual price movement, unless price breaks back down under probably say about $32,000, again, I'm using the futures market, so this is front month futures. And in the case of Bitcoin, there is a contract every month. I would say if somewhere around $32,000 can't get penetrated on the downside, then this really has a chance to run higher, first to around $45,000, but it's got a measured move up to about $55,000. I'm going to watch to see. Look, if I'm right, having taken profits at $37,000 plus, and you got to move back down towards $32,000, that's a pretty good trade to have taken profits on and then to come back in. And there should be pretty good support now near $32,000. You had a double high or even a triple high that it broke out from there.
All right, so Rick, unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment on the radio. But look, everyone listening on the radio, please come to our website or podcast, click on the weekend show posting, because we continue to chat with Rick Bensignor for a good another 10 minutes covering more in terms of cryptos and then even getting into the energy space. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back, focusing strictly on the energy sector with Dan Stevens.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
News update.
If you remain in the roadway and refuse to utilize the sidewalk, you will be placed under arrest and charged with disorderly conduct.
As the war against Hamas terrorists rages on in the Middle East, thousands of anti-Israeli protesters flooding the streets of New York City Friday night, attempting to enter Grand Central Station again, but police blocking it off, several demonstrators arrested. Looking ahead now to next week, President Biden scheduled to meet with the President of China here in the United States. States.
President Biden is scheduled to hold a meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping in San Francisco next week. The meeting set to take place on the sidelines of a CEO summit during which Xi Jinping is anticipated to address prominent American business executives. Xi will be speaking to business leaders during a period of heightened tension in U.S.-China relations.
That's John Schaefer reporting, and I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And as promised in these final two segments, we are switching our focus a little bit more to the energy sector, more specifically the oil and natural gas markets, as we are chatting with Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Prospectus Group. Now, Dan, let's simply start off with the oil price. Look, oil's been quite volatile, and unfortunately over the last, closing in on a month now, the crude oil price has been dropping. It got over $90 a barrel at the tail end of September, even touched right around $90 a barrel in mid-October, but it's been almost a straight line down. As we're recording this on Thursday, oil is trading right about at that $76 level, so it is still generally a good price for producers, but there's no denying that there is a bit of a downtrend here, and some early-on support levels have been broken. What's happening here, Dan? Why do you think we're seeing this pullback in crude oil?
Well, I think number one is the war premium. It appears that they're going to be able to contain this war between Israel and Hamas, contain it in those two areas there. And as long as Hezbollah doesn't decide to jump in full bore, I don't think the U.S. is going to do anything directly against Iran. I mean, there was a bunch of speculation that, you know, obviously Iran is supporting Hamas and Hezbollah. And if you want to really get to the root of this problem in the Middle East, you really have to get serious about Iran. And to get serious, you would have to, you know, start enforcing the sanctions that were in place when Biden took office. But he just, after about 6 months, they just dropped enforcement of that. That cash flow, which has generated a $60 or $70 billion of additional revenue, oil revenues for Iran, is what they use to fund these terrorists. So if that doesn't happen, yeah, we're probably down here. But I would urge all your listeners, go out, run a one-year chart of West Texas Intermediate crude oil prices, and you're going to see the most volatile year I've ever seen. And we've been flopping around in the low 90s to the high 70s, and then it looks like today we're a little bit 76, so it looks like there's some kind of a support level there. I do think the paper traders, the trading of NYMEX futures contracts is the sport of the day, I guess, for speculators, and a lot of them do it on margin. So any big sell in the morning can cause a drop off. Any big buyer in the it can cause the shorts to start sell a covering or something. But it looks like to me, if we find support around 75, a month from now, we could be back at 90. I mean, the chart just is a wide range of prices. That's for sure.
Yeah, Dan, there's really been a whipsaw between, like you say, the low 90s and then the mid 70s, and it's been all over the mulberry bush in between there, back and forth. But strike a balance for us in the supply and demand picture too, just because there's the EIA that's put out some reports showing that inventories were building. Some people think that demand is slow during this part of the year, but it may pick up during the winter. Maybe just strike a balance on how you see those two forces, supply and demand, pulling at each other.
Well, tropical storm activity in the Gulf of Mexico does impact those storage reports because those big tankers are not going to go into a region that's got a hurricane in place. So now that we're past the hurricane season, a lot of times you do see a build in U.S. inventories as those tankers can now get into the Gulf Coast and down by Galveston. Right now, there's probably 50 tankers just waiting in line to unload or something. But so that's, and then we're also reloading those tankers to export our light oil back to the European market because they have refineries that can handle that light oil that we have too much of. It's going to go up and down now, you do have this time of year, you have a bunch of refineries that are offline because they're doing annual maintenance. They have to do something called turnaround where they pressure test all their valves and everything. It's a required, thing so they don't blow up, I guess. And then they have to come back online to start producing more home heating oil here in November. So that should pick up. And, the refiners are the consumers of crude oil. We don't burn crude oil in our cars, but all of our other inventories, especially diesel and home heating oil, are quite low. They're, 12, 15% below normal at this time of the year. So it's not like we have a surplus of refined products sitting around.
So on the demand side, what about the U.S. refilling its strategic petroleum reserve? They said they were going to do it in around these levels. Do you see the U.S. doing that? That could potentially help set a floor to the price?
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice if they would set a floor and say, like, okay, 75, we're going to start buying, and then everybody would know that was the floor. And I think that probably has something to do with why it does bounce off about 75, but I don't really see it happening. There was something that went out that they're, taking bids to buy 3 million barrels, but not total, not 3 million barrels a day, but 3 million barrels total for the month. And that would be nothing really, not much impact on demand. But we also don't have the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to drain if we do get into some kind of shortage. And other than that, I mean, IEA, the International Energy Agency based in Paris, they've been reporting month after month after month that demand for oil-based products exceed supply, and above-ground inventories of refined products have been draining like crazy. So there's really a shortage right now. And OPEC the other day said Saudi Arabia is going to stick with their low exports at least through the end of the year. And at the next meeting, next OPEC meeting, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't say they're going to extend those through the first quarter. They are going to defend. I mean, right now I'm looking at the screen, and Brent is $80.41. I think they will definitely defend $80 Brent. They'll do whatever it takes to keep Brent that price. They have to have those revenues.
Well, real quick, before we get into some of the energy companies, let's also touch on Nat Gas. Nat Gas had a little bit of a jump, and it was up in the mid-threes, up to about 355. Now it's pulled back to around 3. Do you think that as the winter gets closer, that Nat Gas may still have a little more momentum, or was that it?
No. We had a week of cold weather down here in Texas. We got down into the low 40s for like 5 or 6 nights in a row, and that got everybody all excited. Everybody in Texas, and if you go the whole southeast region, everybody heats their homes with natural gas. So whenever those big cold waves go down deep into the south, that's when you get the big draws. We are going to start the winter with about 150 to 200 BCF more in storage. That sounds like a big number, but storage is nowhere close to being filled. I think we're going to start the winter heating season really starts mid-November. At that point, we'll have about 3,800 BCF, but total storage capacity is like 4,200. So we're not close to refilling storage. And if we have a normal winter, something close to a normal winter, and we have the LNG export facilities stay at maximum capacity, which they have been. And I looked this morning, the gas prices for delivered LNG in Europe are like $14 and $17 in Asia or vice versa, but they're in the mid-teens. So the profit margin on getting that gas in ships in over to Asia or into Europe is extremely profitable. And so those facilities are going to be maxed out as long as they're okay. You know, last year we had that Freeport facility go offline, and if it had not gone offline, it was a 2 BCF a day facility, and it was offline for over 200 days. So there's 400 BCF that would have been taken out of the U.S. market.
All right, Dan, let's get a little bit more into the stocks here. You sent over 3 stocks that we're going to talk about, but I first just want a broad comment on the action in the stocks. When we saw oil move up to over $90 a barrel, people were complaining that the stocks weren't really following that price up. So then when oil's correcting, some of the stocks are correcting. Can we just broadly, or can you broadly just provide your thoughts on how the stocks are reacting relating to the energy prices?
Yeah, you know, they look at those wild swings in the oil price, and that makes them very cautious for the sector. But I will say, let's say oil goes to 70 or averages 75 for here on out for a while. These companies are extremely profitable. We had a meeting with Baytex yesterday, spent about an hour with the CEO, and, you know, somebody asked, well, what's your break even? And he says, well, you know, our budget is based on $60 WTI. We're profitable and can support our capital program, which is $60 oil. So they're just printing money now at $75, $80. Anyway, so the companies are very profitable. They don't need $80 or $90 to be profitable. And I do not see any kind of potential for a pullback to that. You'd have to have a serious global recession for that to happen.
All right, Dan, we have to wrap it up here for the radio. But you know what? Next segment, that's when we're going to dive into those stocks that you sent us. So everyone stick around. We're going to be right back to wrap up the show with Dan Stephan.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamil that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamil, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you.
Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications in a variety of formats.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Welcome back. Here we are wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report, continuing to chat with Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Perspectives Group. And as promised, we're getting into a few different companies that Dan sent us. Dan, starting off with Baytex Energy, traded BTE. The company recently completed a merger with Ranger Oil back at the tail end of June. You think this stock is very much underappreciated for the numbers they're putting out. Please share why.
Yeah, their CEO was in Houston yesterday, and actually he brought the whole team. He brought about 5 or 6 people from the management of Ranger Oil, which has a big office here in Houston. They're a pretty big deal, and I didn't really realize this is what they have down in South Texas in the Eagleford and the Austin Chalk. They're in a big deal that's operated by Marathon. I think they own a 30% interest in a big drilling program down there. And it represents about half of Baytex's revenues. I didn't really realize it was that big of a chunk of their revenues. And those are extremely profitable. But they closed Ranger Oil was one of our Sweet 16 companies. I actually have been following that company, which was previously called Penn Virginia. They merged with another company I'd followed forever, which was Lone Star Resources, a pure play Eagleford company. So those two companies merged, and they decided to change the name to Ranger Oil. And then, you know, Baytex made this deal with them back at the first of the year, and they closed it. They closed the merger on June the 20th. And so far, all the wells that they've drilled since then have come on very, very strong. And I think this is what can happen when you have two technical teams join forces, and then the best ideas come out for how to complete wells and stuff like that. So we had this hour-long meeting with them yesterday. We had 40 people. We have regular monthly luncheons with our group down here hosted by these public companies, and everybody was very interested. We had 40 people at it. He made a good detailed presentation, and what struck me was he said the third quarter production was 150,601 BOE per day, a big jump since the merger of about 50,000-60,000 barrels a day. And they're going to jump to 159 BOE per day, a pretty significant jump from third quarter to fourth quarter. And this stock is trading at a very low multiple of operating cash flow. It's trading for like 2x cash flow, and they're generating a lot of free cash flow. In fact, I think they're going to generate close to $1 billion in cash flow next year if oil averages 75. So they are going to use this free cash flow to pay down debt, but aggressively buy back their stock. They announced a stock buyback program that would reduce their share count by 9%. So they're paying down debt and they're reducing the share count. Well, that's a recipe for a much higher stock price. And my current valuation is $9.25 Canadian, and it was trading at 5:30 this morning. So, you know, there's about a 70 or 75, 80% upside in that stock just to get the current value. And I also think Baytex could be a takeover target for a larger company. Somebody asked that question at the luncheon, and he acted like, you know, they'd be open to an offer. So we'll see.
Hey, very interesting. Your valuation, that's way higher than where Baytex is trading right now. So maybe something for our listeners to look into. Let's also talk about Permian Resources, traded PR. They also closed a merger with Earthstone Energy at the very beginning of this month. Take us through what you like about this company and why you also think it's undervalued, please.
Okay, first of all, I was following Earthstone Energy from the day they've been formed. That team that ran that company, they 10 years ago had a company called Geo Resources that sold for about triple what the people had invested in it. So those same investors rolled their money into Earthstone and set these guys up. But over a very short period of time, they increased their production to over 100,000 barrels. And I think third quarter production was 115,000 barrels a day, BOE per day. And so when you combine that with what Permian Resources has, you have a company producing 300,000 BOE per day, about 52% of that crude oil, 20% NGLs, probably about 85, 90% of their revenues come from liquid sales. They have a tremendous acreage position in the Delaware Basin. That the Delaware Basin is the westernmost sub-basin of the Permian Basin. The Permian Basin itself covers 19 million acres. It's, you know, about a third the size of the whole state of Texas, and goes over into New Mexico. And the wells they've been drilling in southeastern New Mexico have just been tremendous wells. I mean, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 barrel a day wells that pay out in a matter of months. And they've got a lot more drilling locations. And then Earthstone also had a big inventory of development drilling locations. So I really like this deal. You know, when you have a merger of this size, and this is a pretty big company with about an $8 billion market cap. So I ran the numbers and I said, I looked, what did Exxon pay for Pioneer? They paid $60 billion U.S. for that company. If you compare that in size to the amount of production and the amount of acreage that is in Permian Basin, Permian Resources is about one-third the size. So take one-third. That would mean a $20 billion price tag for Permian Resources. Its current market cap is $8 billion. So, you know, do the math. This thing really has some significant upside. I updated. So I've been following both of these companies. We're in our Sweet 16, and I had detailed models for both of them. So it was really easy for me to merge these two models together and come up with what they were going to look like post-merger. And then I got some additional information from both of them when they announced third quarter results in their conference calls. So I've tweaked the model, and I've come up with, I believe, their production next year. Today, their production, combined production, about 300,000 BOE a day. It will go up maybe another 10,000 BOE a day because Permian Resources is an aggressive driller. I think they're running 8 rigs right now, completing a lot of wells. So their production is going to ramp up a little bit to the end of the year. But then I'm assuming that it'll get to 325 BOE per day next year. And that will mean they're going to generate about $3.8 billion of operating cash flow next year, and a lot of that is going to be free cash flow. They do pay a small dividend now. I expect them to have a stockholder, you know, program where they pay dividends, variable dividends, and stock buybacks. But, it, you know, it's going to take a while for this merger, the integration of the merger and the people and everything to settle down. So probably within about 6 months, they'll have a much better handle on what they're going to do with that free cash flow. But the balance sheet's in good shape. I mean, it was a stock for stock merger, so they didn't take on a lot of debt for that deal. Everything looks good. The financials look very good, and it is going to draw a lot of attention from the Wall Street analysts. In fact, I listened to the conference call, and there was at least a dozen very high-quality energy sector analysts on that conference call. So you're going to see a lot of new updates and price target increases on that one.
Well, Dan, maybe just a quick comment on the state of M&A in the energy space, because to your point, yeah, Exxon just took over Pioneer. That was a big deal to move into the Permian. You've got here Permian Resources with Earthstone. We just talked about Baytex taking over Ranger Oil. There's Chevron that took over Hess. Are we in a wave of M&A for the sector? Do you expect it to continue? Are other companies that are larger looking at grabbing positions in basins now before other big boys grab them up? What's your take on the M&A factor in the energy space?
Yeah, this is actually a topic we had with Baytex yesterday. See, what happens when the interest rates go up like they have been? Then the cost of capital for these smaller companies increases. You know, they have variable interest rates on a lot of their debt, so their interest expense goes up. Well, you get an Exxon, let's say, the ones that go out and, you know, buy, and of course, Pioneer could get all the money they wanted to. But for some of these smaller companies, even like a Baytex, you know, those big companies, they can get all the money they want. The banks are begging them to borrow more money at very good prices. They can tap into that. And a lot of them are generating just massive amounts of free cash flow already, so they can go buy these properties. So if you can go out in the market and make a merger or a big acquisition and you can acquire more proven reserves than you could generate by drilling, you're going to do it. I mean, and that cycle happens every once in a while. So you see everything coming together, and there's a lot of good takeover targets. I mean, the companies I follow, several high quality companies are trading for just 3 or 4 times operating cash flow. So they're screaming takeover targets. If you ask me, I used to do this for a living when I was at Hess for about 3 years. I ran the financial group that was evaluating M&A targets, and we actually closed on about $3.5 billion worth of deals, which, you know, in today's dollars would be about $10 billion, I guess. But anyway, our watch list was any company we could acquire for 6 times cash flow. So there's a boatload of good deals out there right now.
All right, Dan. Always great chatting with you. Thank you for bringing some of these companies to our attention again for some of them. But you know what? You have outlined where your price targets are and also some pretty simple metrics for us to see just how the market is valuing them. Maybe a disconnect there between their cash flow and where their share price is. Everybody, thank you for tuning in, taking time out of your weekend. Be sure to check out our website, kereport.com, and our podcast, DKE Report. Everyone, hope you all have a great rest of your week.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.